and welcome everybody to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and if you are where you can get to a phone right now, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m., you're hearing the live broadcast, you can call right now, 844-322-2742, and we would love to discuss your particular question or your particular issue right now. Again, 844-322-2742, that's good in the U.S. and Canada. Well, Bob and Andrew, the conclusion of a very interesting trial in Dallas yesterday.
Yes, indeed. Amber Geiger was a policeman for the Dallas Police Force. She's coming home one night after a long day on the job. She parks on the wrong level of her apartment complex, goes into what she thought was her apartment. There was a gentleman there, Botham Jean, who was just eating some ice cream, watching some TV, and he gets up and she pulls her gun out and shoots. And so there was this trial, and they went through a number of hearings before the trial even began to see if Dallas was the correct place to hold this trial. Should it be moved somewhere else? And they decided to hold it right in Dallas. They found a jury of 12. And they heard the evidence, and a couple of days ago, the jury found her guilty of murder, and then yesterday she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Mm-hmm. And after the sentencing, Botham's brother, Brant, who is 18 years old, decided to say something to Amber Geiger, and it was an incredible display of grace. He sat there and said, "I don't want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. I know Botham would want the best for you." And at the end of it, he said, "I just want you to come to Christ. That would be the best thing for you if you would just come to Christ and give your life to Christ Jesus." And then at the end of it, he looked at the judge and said, "Can I go hug her?" And the judge thought about it for a second or two and then said yes. And so he gets up and goes over, and they have this hug. And you could just feel and sense the compassion and forgiveness and grace. And boy, the world watched and took notice. Our sports station, local sports station, Coleman and I listened to that almost every single day, and they were talking about this incredible display of grace. They had never seen grace so vividly portrayed from one person to another. So I thought we would take a few moments and talk about that on today's broadcast. And as I was thinking about that and watching it on television and just how it unfolded. And then even after that, the judge got involved and gave Miss Geiger a Bible.
Her own Bible.
Gave her a Bible and said, "Listen, you haven't done so much that you can't be forgiven." So they left the trial kind of undergirded by the very grace of God, the gospel of God. And as I was watching all this, I thought about 2 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 14. It says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life." And yesterday we saw that on full display. It was incredible. And Andrew, I don't know that you were able to see that, but those make a difference. I mean, when people see one person extending forgiveness and grace to another person, boy, they're marked by that. They can't help but say, "Hey, there's something powerful about that act of love."
Yes, and Amber Geiger will remember that for the rest of her days, I'm certain, as Brant Jean reached out and said, "I forgive you," and he also said, "I love you as a person," and he said, "I don't want anything bad on you." And nobody can really be led in that, Bob, and genuinely mean it from the heart without Jesus Christ living in them. And, you know, that's what we're seeing in this. It's a true expression of the love and forgiveness of Christ. And, you know, we don't realize it sometimes, but that statement and that choice that the brother made, Brant Jean, I mean, that was not only for Amber's benefit as she heads off to a 10-year sentence, but it was also for his own benefit.
Yes, indeed.
Forgiveness releases us from the bitterness and resentment that we could hang on to. I mean, this brother could have been in there foaming at the mouth and fuming in anger and rage towards her. He could have been controlled by those emotions just as we often are, and yet he chose. And that's the way I love to talk about forgiveness. It's choosing to release a debt. It's agreeing with God that, hey, I'm not going to hold this against this person. I'm going to release this debt. And, you know, Bob, over the years, we have seen marriages healed by those sort of decisions being made. We've seen friendships and work relationships reconciled and restored. And that's just one of the many incredible advantages of being in Christ and having him lead our hearts into that process of forgiveness, because on the other side of it, the other person benefits many times, and we benefit tremendously.
Yeah, when you really look, I love what Peter had to say, that Christ bore our sins in his body. And when you recognize that act that was committed toward me, Jesus already bore that in his body. And it really frees us to extend forgiveness, to extend that act of grace and kindness to another person, because we know that God has already dealt with it in Christ Jesus. And boy, as you were talking about, Brant really stood on that firm foundation of what Christ accomplished at the cross, and was able to look at her in the eye and say, I love you, I forgive you, and please give your life to Jesus Christ.
Just an incredible demonstration of God's love and being controlled by the Spirit.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joins Bob Christopher and me. Thank you for being here. We have open lines for you right now at 844-322-2742, and we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, friends, as we've said, we're greatly encouraged by your support as we move toward the $50,000 need that we had moving toward the end of September. And Bob, I think we have some good news to share on
we
that front.
We have great news. We hit it. We not only hit it, we exceeded it. And thank you to all of those who stepped up and gave generously. And there were quite a number of people who did that. And
yes,
I was just overwhelmed by the numbers of people who said, hey, I want to help. I want to be there. I want to support. I want to keep this message going out. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We are so grateful for your partnership in this ministry and just your faithfulness in standing with us to share this good news with as many people as we possibly can.
Well, that is good news, and we know that God always works through his people to meet these needs, and of course, he has done so once again. So thanks to each one of you who helped with that. As always, you can make a gift right now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And this month, we're going to send you a copy of our book called The Basic Gospel. So go to basicgospel.net, click that donate link, and we would love for you to partner with us. Well, guys, we had this anonymous question. It says, I am living in a dysfunctional situation. My wife has another man. I still live at home because I refuse to leave my kids. I want to be a good Christian and raise my children. She was not raised with the morals and values and standards that I was, so my understanding is clear, but the hurt won't go away. She says a lot of hurtful things to me. It's like she hurts me to feel good about herself. What should I do?
Well, guys, you know, that's a pretty unusual situation. Of course, in marriages, a lot of times there are people that cheat on their spouses and have other relationships, but to know that and then to remain in that, and then for one spouse to just dig in their heels and say, you know what, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to remain seeing this other person, and for the two to be under one roof long term, you know, we just finished talking about the importance of forgiveness. I know that is definitely one big element of this, Bob, as as a spouse is cheating on you, you start to keep score on that, and you feel resentful, and you feel bitter, and you feel like you're lesser than, and you're not loved, and you're rejected, and you're ignored, and your opinions are ignored, and even a sense of common decency of, hey, let's resolve this and not have this just in your face. And in fact, in this case, the opposite is happening. I mean, this spouse is flaunting things and saying, I don't care what you think, and I'm going to proceed. And so, you know, one thing for certain as we begin to dialogue about this is just the forgiveness has to be there. It needs to be there for their own health. As we were just talking about, the reason I release my spouse from the damage they've done, the reason that I choose to forgive is because Jesus Christ hung on a cross for those sins, and I can agree with him, and I can take that same attitude towards sins that he takes. And when I take that attitude, I'm expressing myself, who I am in Christ, the new heart that God has given me. I've got a forgiving heart, a forgiving nature. I've got oneness with Jesus Christ, and that's what he's drawing me toward. You know, every Christian is drawn toward forgiveness. Every Christian is drawn toward letting go of that resentment and bitterness, and that is the counsel of the Holy Spirit every time. But also, Bob, I would say here, we don't want to go passive, and I'd like your thoughts on this, but it seems to me that a husband should not go passive in this situation. A husband should say, hey, let's force this to come to a head. Let's talk through this. Let's get counsel. Let's figure out what we're doing, because to live in a no man's land for decades on end, just being a doormat and going passive and allowing the spouse to just do whatever without any communication, without any consequences, without any verdict of any kind concerning the situation, that's not healthy either. So we can forgive someone, but we also need clear and open lines of communication and maybe get someone involved as a mediator.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to coexist in the house is not a marriage. And you can kind of resign yourself to that that status quo, so to speak. But certainly that's not what God desires. God desires reconciliation. So forgiveness is the first step of reconciliation. But reconciliation is about relationship. It's about coming together. And I think the Word of God is really clear. Marriage is two people becoming one. And just to coexist isn't going to cut it. It's not God's design for marriage. So I think you're right. You need to press and say, hey, we're either going to be married and learn what a marriage is from God's vantage point, or we need to do something else. We just can't remain in this neutral zone because that's going to kill both of them, most definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, open lines, 844-322-2742. And, you know, friends, beyond radio and Internet, Basic Gospel has a growing list of resources to help you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. And you'll find that at basicgospel.net under resources. But also, Bob, you have just posted a new video on YouTube. Bob, what's that one about?
Well, our new video just was uploaded today around 10 o'clock. It asked the question, is it okay for a Christian to divorce? And we take a look at the Word of God and really answer that question. You know, so many people ask that question and want to get a legal answer. Is it okay according to the law? A group of Pharisees came to Jesus with that question. Of course, they were trying to test him, but they ask it this way. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And they knew they had a loophole in the law of Moses, that it was okay to grant a certificate of divorce to a wife and to send her away. They knew what Deuteronomy chapter 24 said. So they were testing Jesus to see if he was going to agree with that legal interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Jesus just bypassed the law altogether and went straight to the beginning and said, from the beginning, this is how it is. So he laid a foundation. And I think as believers in Christ, we need to see what marriage is and what God ordained it to be from the very beginning. That's how we need to look at marriage, not through the law, but through the Creator's original intent, and see the design purpose of it. And when we do, I think it's going to reshape how we think about the problems that we encounter in marriage. We're going to go for reconciliation,
yes,
instead of just choosing to walk away. So that's up today, and
on the YouTube channel,
on our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. So take a look. I think you'll be encouraged. I just got a call right before I walked in here. Somebody has already seen it and says, thank you for posting that today. It really helped me.
Well, we encourage you to go to the Basic Gospel YouTube channel and view this, Divorce and the Christian. That's not the title of it, but while you're on YouTube, be sure to click that that bell right next to the subscribe button, and you'll be notified every time we post a new video.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Marietta, Georgia, and talk to Don. Hi, Don.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, just a quick question. The book of Romans contains all, from what I understand, all Christian doctrine. But the word repent or repentance is not in the book of Romans except for a couple of times. One being, I think, 11:29, one of my favorite verses, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance or irrevocable. But I'm just curious as to why Paul chose not to use that word so much in the book of Romans. And I'll just leave you with that and listen for the answer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, you know, you guys, we look at Romans, and there's certainly a lot of repentance going on in Romans. I mean, you look at chapter 1 and 2, and God is saying that nobody has an excuse. If you're living under the law, you're not keeping it. If you're living apart from the law as a Gentile, you've got no hope apart from God. You're spiritually dead. So, God gave over people to a place of depraved mind and living in the flesh, living in Adam. There's all kinds of flavors of unbelief. And then right around chapters 4 and 5, you start to see what we call the Romans Road, or path to salvation. And the only way to be on that path is to change your mind, to say, you know what, I'm dead, I need life, I'm unforgiven, I need forgiveness, I'm in Adam, I need to be in Christ. And so by the time you get to Romans chapter 5, it's saying we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Well, how did you get that way? Well, you got that way through calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved, which is also found in the book of Romans. So whether it's recognizing our spiritual death in Adam, or calling upon the name of the Lord to be saved, or even after salvation, in Romans chapter 6, it says, do not let sin reign. So that's a daily decision where I say, you know what? I'm not going to let my body be given over to the power of sin today. When that sinful thought comes down the hallway of my mind, I'm going to say, that thought doesn't fit with me. It doesn't fit with who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm dead to that thought. I'm alive to God. And so I'm going to turn. I'm going to pull a 180 and turn away from that thought and think something different. So, you know, guys, there's lots of ways to express this idea of repent. And I think that the idea of repentance can be quite distorted in a lot of Christian teaching today. Some people don't think they're saved unless they stop all their sinning. And then when a temptation comes up and they give in, they think, well, I must not really be saved because maybe I didn't fully repent of that one. Well, in the Bible, when we see repentance, it is mainly used for a change of mind, a change of belief, primarily by saying, you know what, I've been rejecting Jesus, now I'm going to accept him. I've been denying that Jesus is Messiah, now I'm going to embrace that he is Messiah. So we see in the early chapters of Romans, those people who are in desperate need of salvation, and that's all of us. And then we see the road to salvation, how a person can change their mind about Jesus, find peace with God, find new life in Him. So absolutely, even if the word is not used that much, guys, I mean, the concept of turning and believing in Christ is certainly in Romans, as everybody needs to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved.
Absolutely. And the one time he uses it other than in a chapter 11 is in chapter 2, and it says, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" And I think what Paul does in the remainder of the book is talk about the kindness of God and how he sent Jesus to bear the sins of the world, to justify us freely by his grace, to reconcile us, to save us from the wrath to come. All of those things that we see. And as you were saying, Andrew, it leads you to that point where that kindness brings you to that point where you're saying, "Yes, Lord, I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead and salvation occurs." So it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Well, Don, we sure appreciate your call today, and great question. Let's go talk to Sandra. Hi, Sandra, you're on the air.
Hello, Sandra.
Well, Sandra, we're going to put you on hold and see if we can get you back. In the meantime, we have a couple of
questions
from our YouTube viewers.
Yeah, this is from Kay. Are we supposed to bury or burn all idols in our home? Are idols gateways for demonic spirits? And what would be considered an idol?
Well, that's a great question. I would say, first, it's not clear to us what they are referring to as an idol. I mean, are we talking about burning a graven image? Are you talking about your television? Are you talking about some other distraction of technology? Are you talking about any sort of figurine? But the bottom line is, look, you know, Paul told the Corinthians they were all worried about idols. They were worried about food sacrificed to idols. They were worried about offending God. And the bottom line is there that Paul's saying, hey, if you're going to go eat food sacrificed to idols, you can do so with a clear conscience because A, there are no other gods. B, you know the one and true God. And C, certainly he is not intimidated or bothered by someone else's false notion of some sort of competing deity. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is when you're in Christ and you've offered your body to him and you recognize who you are in Jesus Christ, then you know that you're a person of God's own possession, that you're one with Jesus Christ, and that he sees you as perfect and holy and blameless. So use discernment, but don't look at anything out there as a threat to the truth faith we have in Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you, Andrew, on that. We sure appreciate it. We don't have enough time to go to Teresa, but she is calling in response to a call that we had yesterday with Ashley, who was struggling in her life, wanting to know whether it's somebody can be a Christian and can be gay. And I guess Teresa was wondering if there was any repentance, and certainly you could see in the conversation that Ashley's mind was being changed as she was going into the Word of God and calling yesterday to just get some confirmation and assurance that God's love is there for her as she continues that quest.
Well, we love hearing from you, our listeners, and thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, well, you can leave a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can email Bob at basicgospel.net if you'd like to write your question as well. Email Bob at basicgospel.net. Once again, our deepest thanks to everyone who helped us reach our September need. You are the reason that we're able to be on the air each day with this good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you make your October gift, we're going to send you our book called The Basic Gospel. The Basic Gospel. The name tells the story, of course, and you can make your gift anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow as we continue with Bob Christopher's favorite passage, number 4, on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.